Try a coup d'etat.
Okay. Next on the list is Susie.
Hello?
Is it on? Well, I'm sort of, I appreciate what you're saying. I was going to ask something similar to Matthew about the morning show, which is, it was a very upsetting thing for many of us in this room that suddenly the morning show was gone. The morning show raised a significant amount of money for the station, so why would you get rid of one of your best shows? And I've heard the budget, so now a group of us actually helped raise like $63,000, and still Arlene said no. So we raised the money, so it's not the budget. So what is it? Okay, we're left with, well, what is it? You don't like Brian? You don't like Amy? I don't know. Anyway, so, and we've had many, many emails sent to Arlene. I mean, I don't know, I can't even tell you how many hundreds. She says to us, well, we've had hundreds for the morning mix, which we've never seen. She has seen all the emails that we have received. So it would be nice for her to share the emails so that we actually, you know, Is it true? Is it not true? I don't know. So it's very complicated, as you can see.
Yeah, I step back from that for now because I'm not sufficiently familiar with it. I know it's a ornery, kind of difficult, prickly issue. Mm-hmm. We've got to do something about it soon. It's causing a lot of, I can feel, I appreciate your comments. We're working on it. I think I know those parameters. I know that I got a big check in my office that says $63,000.
Well, that's
true. It reminds me every day we've got a problem. I don't know where to put that check. I don't know what's in my office. But it reminds me every day. To be continued, really, that's all I can say.
Okay, I have on the list, I have Lewis, Dan, Sasha, and Tracy. I'm sort of thinking about time here. Oh, Juanita, she asked before Amy was up.
Who?
I'm sorry. No, Lewis is next, and then Juanita.
Apart from programming issues, which are apparently pretty prickly, the issue that bothers me is that this is the first listener-sponsored station in the nation. And you don't seem to be too bothered by the fact that one of the, or at least I don't hear your enthusiasm for that part of the mission system, that part of the mission statement which says that we will not accept a commercial assistance. Maybe I misunderstood you. Maybe what you're saying is that that some mix of that and what we're doing with listeners is correct. But I wonder if that's true to the mission statement, if that concerns you at all.
I think you're saying, sir, that the mission statement, the original mission statement says no commercial, that whatever it is. Who said we can't change the mission? Times change. Let me say this, if I may. Give me 30 seconds to give you a little permaculture talk and adapt it to this. In permaculture, we talk about difficulty of change in a system. And the four most difficult things to change when you walk into a landscape is the landscape itself, the climate, the water, and the fourth one is the legal structures. It's easy to create organic soil and plant a fruit tree and all the rest of it. Now, in a radio station, I would suggest the analog for that is the most difficult thing to change in our situation is our culture, which includes the mission statement. Who are we? What do we want to do? The second area of difficulty is the factionalism. I don't say that in a negative sense because there will always be different points of view, particularly in a fractious organisation like ours. It's more probably easier to deal with those than it is to change the mission. And the third thing would be the programming. compared to the other two, the programming is kind of relatively simple to change. I think often we spend a lot of time on the programming and not enough time on those other issues. So I would suggest that, given the fact that Pacifica is 60 years down the road now, maybe we need to revisit our mission. And I would suggest that within that revisiting, again, a permaculture thing. I've got a big, thick book. It's got 550 pages. It's called the Permaculture Designer's Manual. It's got 14 chapters. It's got one chapter on the problems, peak oil, peak everything, peak water, climate change, energy descent. It's got 13 chapters on what we do about it. 13 chapters of positive, powerful, what you get down and do about it. Now, we don't have that in our mission. Our mission is essentially reactive, I would suggest, in some sense. I would love this discussion. We need some positive, how-to, hands-on, what-to-do when the peak oil is happening, the prices are going up. How are we going to respond to that? How do we... We have a birthright of clean air, clean food, and nutritious food. Clean air, clean water, and nutritious food. It's already been impinged upon, and I would say Malcolm X's words should be fought and protected by any means necessary, because this is what keeps us and our children alive. Part of that is the communication environment, which is, might be a fourth one. It's like our right in America to have access to truthful, community-based information. In that context, I would suggest maybe revisiting the very mission of Pacifica, because maybe it is time to promote not commercial businesses necessarily, but organisations that do tremendous work in the community and that may have a little bit of budget that can help the station and give them publicity and get a website and get people into their website and start to pull together as a community. We're a community station. I'm not sure how many of you here are familiar with the transition town concept. Transition. Transitioning from hierarchical systems of big box stores coming into our neighbourhoods, giving low basic wage incomes, and not even incomes, subsistence to poor people usually, and all the money flying to the top. All the money flying to the top, all out of the system, that we educate our young people, particularly in our country towns, country universities, upstate New York, Binghamton University or wherever, which is the best in the SUNY system in New York. But most of those people then leave and go elsewhere. How can we keep the energy back in the system? How can we catch and store the energy and keep it back in the system? How can we support local businesses, underwriting them themselves and having them underwrite us? How do we keep that money and that goodwill within our own system? And part of that would be supporting them, letting them get on the air and give out a website. What's wrong with that? I think that should be revisited. It's not about commercialism. It's really the opposite of that. But I think it should be revisited. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you. I have one me and then Dan.
Hi, my name is Hyun Mi, and I'm a newly elected board member of KPFA LSB. I guess I have two questions for you. First question is, you know, I really like to know what your thoughts are in terms of opening up, you know, really strong communication channel with the listenership. You know, Mr. Hallinen just off, you know, he stated that, you know, we have to develop some kind of measures to take, you know, listeners' feedback seriously. And I think that's one of the responsibilities of program council. And I think what is really missing in this process is, you know, we have to have some kind of systematic structure of evaluating the programs, you know, by the listeners. And I know that, you know, if you go to the website now, listeners can leave the comments on the program website. But to me, that's not sufficient enough. And how are we going to make that happen? You know, like just having some kind of evaluation process by the listener, whether it's email or the phone calls, because this was one of the points that I made ever since I decided to run for the LSP. You know, to take the listeners' participation seriously. And I went to the forum in Santa Rosa, San Jose in South Bay. And, you know, every listener always, you know, complained that, you know, we call KPFA to leave comments. Most of the time, they never return our calls. And there's nobody to, you know, take our messages. So, you know, I'd like to know your thoughts on that. And secondly, I also want to know, you know, I'm from South Bay. You know, I live in San Jose, and I also, you know, spend quite a time, some time in San Mateo County. And those listeners feel abandoned. You know, they think all the events that you guys have, all the meetings you guys have is always in Berkeley. But yet, when we go to seek, and when we try to do the campaign, you know, we say a lot of things to listeners. We make a lot of promises. But those promises not always, you know, followed up by my actions. So I think, like you said, it's time for us to put our money or our mouths at and really take some actions and just, like, really do it, you know, and just... I'm just so tired, and I'm just so sick and tired of we've been talking about this for year after year after year, and ever since I decided to run for, you know, LSB, program council, programming committee, how are we going to improve, you know, programming? And it's never happening, so I'm hoping that the new general manager is going to do something about it and take charge and leadership. Thank you.
Okay, so I think it's basically three questions. The program council... People talk about it, but it never happens. How do we get out into other areas other than Berkeley, holding events, bringing the station into those areas? And the first one was, just remind me again, the first one was, how does the audience have more participation in feeding back? Well, my understanding is that this organization itself has, I mean, you're a listener. My understanding is that the Program Council had representation from the LSB on it. Am I correct? Yes. So to some extent, that partially answers that question, I think. Yes. I think that partially answers that question. I'll just say, it's really difficult, actually. The question you're asking has been an age-old problem in community stations. You know, it's really difficult. I don't think there's a perfect system to actually getting that feedback and satisfying. You can't satisfy everybody, obviously. But the LSB has a mechanism. Once a program council is instituted, and I had to make promises, but I promise you I'm working on it. I can't promise you it'll be in 6 months, but I'll be working on it. I hope it'll be in 2 months. I hope it'll be in next month. I mean, I'm working on it. And some of you know that I've already mentioned this at staff meeting, at the small groups that I've spoken with. I've got the, in my bag, I've got the regulations of the old Lisa Detman came in the office yesterday. I think I mentioned it to you, Lisa, did I not? Program Council. And by the way, I've had some great people visit my office, sit down eye to eye, talk through a few things. It's stimulating. It's great. I agree with you. I did say that I think we should be getting out more deeply into the community. I believe in that. Well, as a general manager, well, this is glib. You make it happen. You make it happen. You encourage it. You provide the impetus, the stimulation. Come into the office and talk to me about it. Talk to me about specifically your area and what we might do, where we might have it, and let's talk about it. You know, see if I'm a man of my word or not. Give me a test. Give me a chance. Okay?
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Now I have Dan and then Sasha, Tracy, Andrea Turner, and Henry Moore.
Okay. First of all, Andrew, welcome. My name is Dan Siegel. My question for you is this. As an executive of this organization, what are your thoughts on how to navigate the fractious politics of its governing bodies? Just intro to that question. I've been a part of this governing organization for 6 years as national council, interim executive director a couple of times, member of this board, elected to the national board. Yesterday, we had to win a lawsuit in order to keep from being thrown off. We have a two-party system in Pacifica, as you probably know, locally and nationally. It is the most awful organization that I've ever been part of. The boards spend their time on politics, on governance, on elbowing out each other. Very little time spent on improving programming, improving financing, doing the real work of the network. And it's very depressing to be part of that structure. And I wonder whether you, and you seem like a veteran with interesting ideas and perhaps the courage to try to implement them, what your approach will be to dealing with the politics of the internal organization.
Good. The
landmine right over there. That's why I wore my leather pants today, you understand? I feel like Mad Max. I'm only missing my dog back in there. And it's Australian cattle dog, too. I know. You know what? Personnel is a big thing. I like to think of myself as open and listen to people. And I think when I say my door's open, it is open. Sometimes it's got to be closed, but let's talk about it. Let's try and work through this. And it's really difficult at the moment. I've got another three grievances on my desk as I walked out on Friday. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be there and it's going to cause more problems. I've got to go spend time on it. And it's stuff that's hung over from decisions that were made rightfully or wrongfully before I came to the station. You always get a bit of a start when they come in over your desk. You've got to go through a whole thing. But that's not really your question. I'm hoping that we can, I won't say move beyond that. See, the management has to prove goodwill towards the staff before the staff is going to give us a bit of leeway. And they're not going to give us leeway now. And I understand why they're not going to do that, because it's been a very sort of aggressive. For a long time, it's been like this. I mean, I don't want to call names. When I came into the system, David Selnicker was the executive director and was raising money, having a capital fund to raise the beautiful studio, which became. And then Pat Scott became the EP, and then after that, things seemed to go downhill big time. I mean, I'm not calling why or what the rest of it is. There's a really long, deep history of this. And even before we get to that, we're a fractious group of people, you know, we are. I don't know the answer yet, but certainly transparency, and I don't want to be mealy-mouthed, but to the degree you can have transparency, because there are privacy issues involved. For instance, you can't have everyone walking into the station saying, let me look at the books. You can't do that. There's legal areas and rights of people who are permitted to look at the books and methods and ways of getting that information. And not everybody is legally permitted to even look at the books. But it seems all kinds of people come in and look at the books and then stuff goes out. Now, whether it should go out or not, I'm not arguing that. Maybe, like this recent $30,000 thing that went on, which has caused a lot of problems, and it caused gag rules to come back in or not come back in. I mean, when they approached me about that, you know what I'm talking about, this recent kerfuffle where Mitch came in and Eileen came in and Mark came in and said, oh, you spent, they weren't, not, you know, you collectively, the management is going to be spending this enormous amount of money with this union-busting law firm. I don't know whether it's a union-busting law firm, but it is a law firm. Regardless of that, it's a lot of money at a time when we've got to lay off some really talented people. And that's pretty painful to me and to you, and most painful to the person being laid off. And I said, well, do you really need to do this? Is this LSB meeting on Saturday? Can you hold off until after that? And they said, no, we can't. I said, okay. I didn't put a gag rule. I said, okay. we'll try to deal with it. You got to put it out, you got to put it out. So it went out, and Arlene gave a response. And I said, but if you put it out, just remember, I wasn't being acrimonious myself or whatever, prickly. But I did say, just remember, there are nuclear power plants melting down in Japan today, and people on the West Coast are freaking the fuck out because they don't know whether their children get radioactive poisoning. And Wisconsin's also melting down. And there's a war in the goddamn Middle East. And there's another one today. I don't know whether this is a story, tell you the truth.
Thank you.
You know, I really don't know whether it's a story. But if you feel you've got to do it, I'll trust your news judgment because you're the news department. And they did it. Okay. But then I did it again. And I said, why did you do it again? And why did you do it again? Because then it's becoming harassment. You know, I said yes once, and that's it. And it's not even a story, in my opinion, in the first place. It's something to bring up with the management and bring up with the LSB before you put it out with the audience and cause more problems that aren't really worth causing in the first place, even though the decision may be wrong with the $30,000. I mean, that's how I would approach that. That's how I did approach it. But we'll move on from it. We will move on from it. I don't believe in gag rules, but I'll tell you something, if I may. See, free speech, as I understand it, is something which the government, under the First Amendment, right, guarantees. Don't jump all over me. In the workplace, it doesn't apply in the same way. It's a government sanction. You lawyers will have a better take on this than I am. In the workplace, it's a different kind of a situation. In the workplace, the management does have some responsibility, in some senses, to quote-unquote restrict what goes out. Now, I don't want to apply... We can argue this and discuss it, and I'll be really interested because it's obviously really dicey. But I'm not a stickler for approaching it that way. And I didn't approach it that way on Thursday when I was approached by the news department. I shrugged and I said, I don't want to be accused of knocking this back. But I'm putting it out there. Yeah, we need to talk about that one. The personality of the general manager, and we've got a great program director now, very strong, decent woman with quite a lot of skills, I would suggest. I'm only getting to know her. And Kerry Core. And we've got a executive director. When I took this job, when she called me up, she said, would you be interested in this job? I'll tell you very briefly how I learned about this job. I was teaching permaculture over in the east, and Ursula Rudenberg, who's a national, what's her title? Affiliates coordinator, was doing the course with me, the permaculture course. And she said, oh, Andrew, I hear there's a job going at Pacifica. Would you be interested? Oh, shit, I said, let me out of here. but one thing led to the other. And then Arlene calls up and says, would you be interested? So something happened. That's how I got the call, you know. And I thought, wow, maybe. You know, so that's how I got the call to come in. It's the personnel... The personality is a really big thing. One-on-one, a sense of trust from all people involved in trying to get through this. I mean, a lot of damage has been done, hasn't it, in the personal relationships. And I don't think you can mediate it. I don't think you can do it through going to courts. I don't think you can do it through more regulation. I think it's one-on-one. I think it's goodwill. It's from heart-to-heart, honest communication. And it's made more difficult when you've also got the financial strictures that we have. He's looking at his watch. I'll say no more. Okay.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. But yeah, you know where I'm coming from. I can't answer the question directly, Dan. I can just put out what it has and use two words, goodwill. That's what I can say. It's not very, there are invisible assets and there are visible assets. The invisible assets are sometimes more important, more significant than the visible.
So I have four people left on the list, and I'm hoping that we can wrap this up pretty quickly. I have Sasha, Tracy, Andrea Turner, and Henry. So,
Madam Chair, what's our time?
Yeah. Well, it's 1:30. We didn't put a time on this agenda item. Yeah, I said one question per person. I think that's fair. I don't know what else to do. But let's try and move. I just ask people not to ask questions that have already been asked. And maybe Andrew can keep his answers a little
I can try to keep it a little bit shorter. Yeah, I've been going on.
And we can move through this as quickly as possible. Okay, Sasha.
Hi, Andrew. Welcome. I'm Sasha Futrin, and you got burnt out and you started to chop wood. I got burnt out, and I started to train dogs, which I hope will come in handy in this role on the board, because I think we all like to mark territory in the KPFA world. How do you want to work with the board? What do you see as your relationship with the LSB, which is as fractious as anything else?
Well, I'll be happy to attend meetings such as I am. I think I'm obligated to do that. Like I said, if you want to come in and talk to me one-on-one, I'm open. I'm open. Come and talk. And I'll be at meetings. Is that adequate? Trying to keep it short? I don't know what else to say. Oh, how I see the role of it? My understanding, well, it used to be the LAB, right? Now it's the LSB. And there was a big change since I was at Pacifica. Much more difficult to sort of negotiate. And maybe better, I don't know. It's certainly different. I think it's essentially, my understanding is I think they might have taken advisory out of it because they wanted it, the board was supposed to have more of a role. My essential sense that it is advisory. There's kind of watchdog of management. It's another check and balance on the system, if you like, which is much more in place than it used to be. The local advisory boards didn't seem to have much power. When I was PD, you'd kind of walk in and no one kind of really, it was more, in the old days, it was more like they really wanted to have their own programs on the air. It's kind of, maybe that's a little bit unfair, but there's more sense of that. I think it's an advisory board. It represents the listeners' interests. It provides a mechanism for that, but there's been a breakdown because the listeners come into the board, but there's no way out. There's an input, but there's been no output for the information. The output should feed back into the program council and be discussed and maybe then feed back into the LSB, and there should be a process, but I think we've been blocked. I think once we get a program council in place, that'll change. Then I also think there's a sort of a watchdog role that they play, you know. Then there's a fundraising role that they can play on capital campaigns, special projects and that kind of thing. So audience participation in station business and feedback, a watchdog function representing audience interests, and perhaps fund capital campaigns, looking for money. There would be three areas that they would be involved in. And again, I haven't seen the regs for the LSB, but that's my understanding of its role. Okay.
Thank you. Sasha followed by Tracy followed by Andrea.
Could you turn the mic on?
I'm going to now. I wanted to say one thing and then ask a question. Thank you and welcome. Thank you for laying out some of your thoughts about our thorny AM dilemma. I appreciate it. It's not the kind of question anyone should have to field 4 days on the job, and you've been very good to do so repeatedly. It was interesting to me that you mentioned something about sort of having a venue or a programming structure for the morning that accommodated a 7 to 8 a.m. Democracy Now! Broadcast and then a 2-hour 8 to 10 sort of local morning something. it was interesting because in a bit of historical comedy that you wouldn't understand, that is exactly the proposal that came out from KPFA's program council in 2003-2004. That program council was then disbanded, and the staff and management of the station at the time basically said that nobody but an idiot would propose putting on Democracy Now! From 7 to 8 and then moving a two-hour local morning show from 7 to 9, from 8 till 10. So I pass that on to give you some historical basis for the fact that common sense programming innovations around KPFA have often been more controversial than they should have been, or that common sense indicates that they should be. What I wanted to ask you about is one of the resolutions that we're going to talk about this afternoon, which was sort of addressing the fact the LSB doesn't make programming decisions. We don't say, put this on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's our will. Take that off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The bylaws were written with a fairly strong firewall that says that's not what we do. However, we do have a sort of a generalized oversight to make sure that whatever programming decisions are being made are fair, collaborative, and somewhat consistent with some sort of set of principles. So we have a motion that asks for the GM and the PD in whatever constellation that would work to prepare a programming policy document that identifies the goals and criteria for programming concerns that incorporate the roles of a program director and a program council and the oversight responsibilities of a GM, the local board, and the National Foundation executive staff. So I am asking how you would feel about a directive to start to develop that kind of a policy document and whether it makes sense to you given your previous experiences in Pacifica and at BAI.
Tracy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tracy. I think to some extent, once one has a working program council in place that fulfills a lot of that function, one would hope so. If it doesn't, I think it's working properly because the program council offers input opportunities for the LSB and for the paid staff and for the lesser paid staff and for the volunteers and for whoever else. And with some oversight and one hopes guidance, skillful, informed guidance from program director, maybe the general manager, one hopes too. And so that process really should become automated, should be automatic. Whether we need another document to implement that, I would say we don't need it because I would hope the program council would provide that. And I would ask you to first let the program council give it a chance to work. And if it was to be implemented, it would probably be the program council that would write it, with the GM and the PD, and would probably take about 15 years to do, you know, difficult to do. But I'd say we've got to get this program council up and running. And I'd also say maybe simplify a little bit. I went through the document. It's really complicated. The old program council regs, how it was set up. It takes a lot, you know. We can talk about this too. I'm asking people who were on the former program council to come and talk to me and fill me in on this. Yeah,
thanks,
great.
Thanks for the answer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Andrea followed by Henry.
Yeah, hi. Again, welcome aboard. As you know, 6 months is not a long time. So let's have a reality check in here on what you can do and can't do. You've envisioned quite a lot to bite off, as well as with the, permaculture and everything else. Let's slow down and try to focus on what areas has Arlene asked you to work on as what priority areas has she given you to work on first, and also what controls, managerial controls, do you envision in implementing some of her priority areas that she has given you to work on, since you report directly to her. And I'm sure in 6 months, you know, there are some key areas you could take on, and all the rest, we have to have a real check-in here. We've been all over the span here. And as a manager, I know that you can't handle all of that. So what has she directed you to do first, and what are your managerial controls to carry out your working task areas? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think, first of all, 6 months is a short time. I'm not suggesting that all of the stuff that I've laid out, I'm trying to give you conceptually what I'm, how I see the big picture. And part of what I'll be trying to do is set a foundation, perhaps, for some of these things. But not just me, working in conjunction with LSB and other LSB station personnel. Because, I'm trying to answer your question. A man like me will come and go. I mean, a lot of the people working at the station have been there for decades. I mean, they've kept it together over the years. I think one has to acknowledge that. And they're really looking for some guidance. I wouldn't say guidance, but some support and some suggestions. I kind of made a mistake the other day. I said, you know, we get a job. I was talking about my own experience. You get a job and you tend to lay back. That was my, when I was teaching at the university.
Is that what Arlene has asked you to do?
I'm getting off the point. Arlene's asked me to implement the program council, to get back into the program council.
Oh, to do the program council.
To work with re-implementing it. That's essentially what she's told me. To deal with some of, to be responsible for speaking with, addressing the union grievances, which is my job anyway. I mean, she didn't have to tell me to do that. Other than that, she's been pretty open. She wants to get out of hands-on at KPFA. She said that specifically. And I said when I took the job on that there was a hierarchy and there were boundary lines between each of them, and that as a general manager, I was responsible for the station. She wasn't. She was responsible for me. If she didn't like it, sack me, basically, right? And then that's how the through line goes. If you don't like Arlene, or the national board doesn't like Arlene, and you indicate that to your board members who are on the national board, she will lose her job. Correct?
No, not if the politics are in her favor on that side. I'm on the PMB.
Okay.
Well, however, could we get back to you and what you're going to do inside the station?
Okay. Well, I think I've answered the question. I've said that my primary thing is to get the program council moving. But I'm personally, I wasn't asked to do this. I talked about emergency management systems. I think that's what I personally feel is really important. I said there were two elements, both at the station and in the community, because a radio station will play a key role if and when there's emergency in this town, and we need to know what to say, where the information is. For instance, I said to Michael, we need to have a ham radio or a satellite phone at this radio station, because when the power goes, how are we going to talk to our audience? I said, do we have backup generators? He said, yes, we do. I said, good. He said, we need to cut down some of those eucalyptus trees near the transmitter site because of the fire might burn the site down. I said, good, well, I'm sorry we brought them here so long ago, but that's one of those things that happened, you know. But these are my, I think these are really important issues.
Right.
There's some permaculture background, so first things first, you know. Program council, that's what she wants me to get into.
Okay.
Program council and emergency.
No, that was me.
Okay.
Not her.
Program. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to move on. Henry, followed by Mal, who will be the last question. Go ahead, Henry.
Hi, my name is Henry Knorr, excuse me. Listener rep. I have a question about programming philosophy, I guess you might say, understanding that you're the GM and not the program director, but since you're interested, I want to throw it out. And it's really a follow-up to the comments that you and me made before. One of the things that's always struck me about KPFA since the very first time I started listening is how little interactivity there is on the air. We have a few call-in opportunities, usually very tightly monitored. We don't ever have letters from listeners, responses from listeners to stories. commentaries, like our local NPR station has listener commentaries virtually every day that people have submitted. We don't have a slot for short-term programs from somebody who, you know, maybe just came back from a trip to Turkey and would like to do three shows about Turkey or something. Basically, there's no way for people who are not on the inside to get them to get on them their voice, their ideas out. To me, that's a sad state, because for one thing, I would be interested in listening to more voices and more ideas. Also, I believe it's part of the reason we have a declining listenership, because I think one of the ways you get people to listen, one of the ways it makes people want to listen, is if they hear themselves and their friends and their family and people from their community like them, who are, if they get to hear them on the air, that'll make them listen and maybe come back the next day. So this is probably a long-term, not a six-month thing, but I'm wondering what your reaction to those thoughts is, and what you, whether it's something that you agree ought to be part of our direction in terms of programming.
I do. When I was program director at WBAI, I introduced a program called Talkback. It went 5 days a week, 4:30 till 6. And the direction was 50% audience coming in, 5 different hosts. And once again, the format was standard. It was great. We had I don't know if you know Malachi McCourt, Frank's brother. I knew them both. And Frank would come in and sub for Malachi. Who else we have on? Lynn Samuels, Crazy Lynn, who worked over at ABC after that. Laura Seidel, who then went on to NPR. Clayfell Benjamin, you may not know him, he's great. He used to do a lot on boxing. But he had a lot of people interested. He was rambunctious, very political, a writer. I wasn't going to say that. I'd love to see a show like that on KPFA. I'd love to see a talk back. Audience coming in. 5 different hosts. I don't know who the hosts are, but a lot of them you won't have heard from before on KPFA. New people. Bring them in. Don't pay them. They don't have to be paid. They'll love to do it. I don't know if it's possible. It's up to the program council. But that's something that I would suggest and how it would work. Absolutely agree with you. Need to bring more audience into the system, more voices. I was a bit surprised that there was so little of that on KPFA. We used to have live radio on WBAI, freeform radio, Bob Fass, Josephson, Steve Post. They were, huh? Yeah, they were the people that sort of I came in just afterwards. I was saying that at WBAI we used to have something called live radio or freeform radio, and I mentioned some of the big names of sort of Bob Fass and Steve Post and Larry Josephson, Mike Fader, Paul Gorman, and we did some amazing stuff, you know. Gorman did a thing on homelessness on Saturday mornings. When a lot of homeless in the street, and I'm really shocked at the number of homeless I see around California, Berkeley area, and San Francisco. Yeah, we used to, on that Saturday morning, he'd get on and say, all right, on the corner of 25th and 8th Avenue, next weekend we're going to have a food drive. Bring your cans, and then we're going to get someone down there with the phone. And so next week you tune in and you hear from the street, well, we've got a lot of tuna down here, but we could do with some more sugar and this, and we'd be live over the air. It was great radio and great for the community. And it was very exciting. And I was asked actually by 1989 to do a documentary. They brought me in as a freelance producer. They paid me a little bit of money and said, would you do a documentary? Would you come in for 3 months and concentrate on the homeless? We took it on as an issue. I walked from New York City to Washington with 400 homeless people, made a documentary. We won the best documentary for the CPB that year. It was great. It was energy, and the stuff was, it was what you were saying, it was two-way flow. It was great radio. One more radio story, because you're radio people. One day Gorman was on the phone, it was spring, about this time of year, spring here, but it's not really, it's really spring in the east, isn't it? You know, the daffodils, crocuses are coming up. And some guy calls in and says, oh, good morning, Paul. Good morning, Jack. Let's call him Jack. Where are you? Well, I'm out in the garden. This is the cell phone. You know, when I first came to radio, we didn't have cell phones. I can remember doing that homeless program, walking around with a big box and a big, heavy phone into the housing shelters, reporting from the shelters. In those days, that's how you did it. But it was great radio. And we'd pass the phone around to the homeless people around fires and stuff, bring that sound into the studio. It was great. So Gorman says, oh,
Where are you? He said, oh, I'm upstate New York. Beautiful day up here. It's great. Oh, why don't you take us outside? Oh, all right. Where do you want me to go? Tell me what you see. Oh, there's nice maple trees are starting to green up and daffodils are coming up and you hear the ambience change. He walked out the door into the garden. The ambience changes. He said, what do you see now? Oh, the pond's down there. Some ducks on the pond. Oh, I walked down to the pond, he says. Oh, I'm walking down. Where are you now? I'm on the edge of the pond. Then Gorman says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to throw your cell phone into the pond. What? Throw the cell phone into the pond. Silence. Great radio. It was great. It was different. It was like an art piece. Just a little story. Yeah, it was great.
Thank you. Now is the
My name is Mal Bernstein. I have a statement, and I'm not going to ask a question, so you won't need to respond. You talked a little bit about trust, and I want to make a comment on that. You got your job as interim manager without any buddy that I know of on this board, even knowing that they were looking for an interim program director or manager. We weren't even informed that the previous general manager had resigned. We had to find that out indirectly. So to start off with, you come at a great disadvantage for some of us who weren't in the in group that was involved with looking for a new person to fill that spot. Also, you were given directions from Arlene Engelhardt that weren't discussed with us, that weren't cleared with us. All of a sudden, we are presented with a new manager at the station who's got walking orders that nobody ever had the courtesy to discuss with the listener representatives. I find that shocking, and it puts you, at least as far as I'm concerned, not in a position of trust to start with. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, you're going to have to earn trust for doing your job. And second, I just want to make a brief comment. There's been a lot of discussion about program council. I want to point out that at least insofar as it's supposed to be constituted, it is made up to a great extent of people both with a conflict of interest in that they are people who want to get their programs on the air, keep them on the air, or extend their time, and also that they are probably appointed by or representative of the factions, political factions represented on this board, and are not really representative of the listeners. The listeners of this station often make their position heard both by emailing and writing to the station. Yes, forget it. And voting, shut up, and voting for people on this board, and finally by withholding or granting money to the station, both in general and during fund drives. And if you look at the results of the last fund drive, for example, you will see some of the listener input in the way the fund drive results look compared to previous years.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. you've been put through your paces, I think, and I appreciate you coming, and I'm sure the board thanks you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you at our next board meeting, which is on April 16th. And that, in fact, the schedule for the board meetings for the entire year is on the LSB portion of the KPFA webpage. So that'll help with planning when you can take a weekend trip. Thank you very much, Andrew. Thank you. Okay. I really think we need to take a 5-minute break. Does anybody object? 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. I'm going to...
5 minutes, can't do anything.
Okay. 10 minutes. We're going to start promptly again. I'm calling this meeting back to order. Will someone check in the hall and see who's out there that needs to be in here? Everybody take your seats.
I have it already. Thank you. Okay, I'll mention it.
Please come to order. Oh my God, all board members are missing. Come back.
Wherever you are.
Jack.
It doesn't matter
what's okay. We're heading back to the agenda now. Okay. We're doing committee reports now. Okay, heads up. I guess Andrea's the PMB members in the room, so Andrea, please give us a report from the PMB.
Yeah, we had our PMB meeting. It was in Texas, and just to give you a heads up, we really... all of us are paying for our rooms, so we're not all eating out of the trough. But we are to pay for our rooms, and that will help to defray the cost of having a PMB. I'm really for having like quarterly meetings myself, and we'll really push for that because we could do most of the work, I feel, by telephone. There's a couple of areas, and I meant to bring that today, but I didn't know whether I picked up the wrong briefcase to come to this meeting. Too many things on the packet here, but we are to sign off on conflict of interest forms. And they really asked us to do that as LSB members. And so I'll see to it or give it to Margie some copies so that we could get out to everybody. That was one thing. Another thing is Laverne asked us to do just what we were doing earlier with the financial report, that each LSB should be working and looking at their budget. And Tracy, you can add a little bit more since you're on the financial committee, I believe. That we should look at our budget in terms of how we can cut costs, how we can generate more funds, look at where we are. And I thought we had a pretty good start today when we were really going over the report with Barbara to break down the different areas, and we had lots of good questions, and we probably should have someone from the national office or so, or either our business manager to come in and sit down, and let's really hone in on looking at that budget. I thought we had a lot of good questions coming from the local station board members today, and I'd like to hope that we could continue to do that and to really look at how we're expending funds and how can we generate more funds. And then Laverne has given us a deadline, and I don't have that deadline. Do you have it, Tracy, when we should report back on the budget? But we all should be looking at so we should do this. I don't know. And really look at our LSB, period. What is it that we're doing? What's working? What's not in terms of generating funds? And that's a positive approach, and I think that would basically help out with the network. So I just wanted to emphasize those few areas there. Go ahead.
Well, I have Tracy's email that she put the schedule if you want to read it.
Okay.
Oh, well, that
We're doing
can you talk on the mic?
Let me address it when I do my video.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm giving here, and so you can fill in for the rest of it then. Okay. Any questions, though? But I thought it was, yeah. Hi, Mel. Yeah.
Who was there voting from KPFA?
KPFA voting, just Tracy and myself. And so we did go over committees. The PMB will have committees, and so we need to have the rest of our committee slots filled, and they're vacant right now for several committees, so we have to fill those slots. But right now, I believe, well, Tracy can talk about what committee she's on. Yeah, right. And then I'm on personnel, and we're looking at just the personnel, not only the policies, but whether we have them in each of the stations, and also the job descriptions and the functions of the national office. We're also looking at organizational structure and who reports to who and that sort of thing. So that committee has already met, and so we're really off on that. And again, I signed up for the racism, sexism, and discrimination because we've had a lot of lawsuits and things in that area. So we're still trying to get that off the ground, and we will be convening that. I believe Tracy's on the coordinating committee, and you could maybe talk about, we do have other committees that we need to have filled as well. So right now, we need to have our two slots filled on several of the committees throughout the structure. Right.
That you're done, Andrea? Does anyone else have any questions for Andrea? Okay. Tracy, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No? Okay. Go ahead, Tracy.
Okay. Let's see. So the PNB met from the 25th to the 27th in Houston. Let's see. What should we cover? Officers were elected. Summer Reese of KPFK is the chair of the PNB. Bill Crozier from KPFT is the vice chair. Carolyn Burden from WBAI is the secretary. Last week I became the chair of the finance committee and the treasurer. What else? The primary focus of Saturday, Friday was mostly ceremonial with reports, was the auditor's report, which we heard both in open and in executive session. It should be released publicly fairly soon. The short version is that currently the foundation has $5.83 million in assets. That is significantly depreciated. We have $2.5 million in current liabilities, $661,000 in long-term liabilities, for total liabilities of $3.2 million as opposed to $5.83 million in assets. That's not much for five radio stations combined. Total cash within the foundation is about $1.4 million. And again, this is as of the September 30th, 2010, ending date of the audit. There's some good news on some legal settlements. Some of the plethora of sexual harassment suits of the mid-2000s are starting to come to a close. There's a legal settlement with Raimi Kafkuta, who was a worker at WPFW, and also one with Maya Carrasco, who was a worker at KPFA. So both of those lawsuits have been settled and will no longer be a problem to the foundation. Committee slots. In terms of the PNB, Andrea mentioned her committees. I am on finance and the chair there, the coordinating committee. I think the financial task force-y thing, too, but I'm not sure about that, and the governance committee. The PNB slots that need to be filled are programming, technology, audit, election, and affiliates. So the two incoming PNB members will have to split those five up between themselves. Normally, a PNB member carries between two and four
committees each. I also wanted to say that a number of KPFA's PNB committee slots from the LSB are unfilled, and we've been asked on a repeated basis to get those slots filled. Okay. We did some volunteer filling of those slots. That information needs to be conveyed to the PNB secretary, and I believe there were at least 8 or 10 LSB slots that were not filled. We do need to get that taken care of today because those committees are up and running. And otherwise, we don't know what we're going to do for in-person meetings the rest of the year. There is a proposal to not meet again until September in Los Angeles in person, which is an awful lot of telephone calls, and there is a proposal to meet in June in Los Angeles and in September, October as well, which would either be in D.C. or Berkeley. And I don't know which of those proposals will come into being. We'll know probably March 23rd, which is the next PNB meeting on the phone. And I guess that's it, unless there's questions.
Okay, questions.
Well, Tracy, I have a...